Welcome to the Miracle Camp podcast, and thanks for checking out this recording from summer camp. Please enjoy listening to our speaker from this week.
So why did he write it? Well, it's because he has this, here's Paul, here's the Colossians, and they have what we will call this mutual friend, this guy named Epaphras from verse 7. You learned about the good news from Epaphras, our beloved co-worker. So Paul and Colossians have this mutual friend named Epaphras. You guys know what a mutual friend is, right? You know how that works. Like, we could have two people here in this room this evening who don't know each other, but if you start to talk with this person, you might find out that you guys know the same person and you guys have just never crossed paths before. Don't believe me? Somebody's like, oh my goodness, I can't believe you called me out in chapel. Okay, so do we have in here, do we have a guy named Cash? Cash, where are you at? Throw your hand up, brother. Okay, Cash, keep your hand up. Now, do we also have a guy named Clark? All right, okay, so Clark, Cash, do you guys know me? You do kind of? No? Okay, so here's the thing. They're going to be like, what? All right, I know both of y'all's parents. Clark, I knew your dad when he was in high school. Cash, I know your Uncle Ryan. Your Uncle Ryan who plays guitar, right? Okay, so I knew your Uncle Ryan when he was in high school. Okay, so put your hands down. So we've got a mutual friend. I knew that Clark and Cash were here because I saw their dads when they were dropping them off. So we don't know each other, but we have mutual friends because I know their dads. And now they're just like, oh man, I got to make sure I'm on my best behavior because you're going to totally tell my dad what I did at the end of the week. No, you guys are good. You guys are good. Clark, whatever you do this week, your dad probably got in more trouble when he was your age. So all right, so you're good. So they've got these mutual friends. Paul and the Colossians have this mutual friend. My wife Amy and I met because we had mutual friends in college. Like, Amy hung out with some people that I knew, and then I hung out with, but our paths didn't cross until I was starting my third year of school. So we met because we had mutual friends, and now we've been married for 26 years. And I'll give you a secret. I actually I don't know if I lured her or I suckered her because I was a guitar player. And so, gentlemen, just putting that out there. If you're a guitar player, you never know. You could end up meeting the woman that you marry and have been married to for 26 years. So anyway, we have mutual friends. So think about that. Paul and these guys have a mutual friend. And so that's how this letter kind of comes about. Okay, so this church is in this town called Colossae, which is now would be in like the modern day country of Turkey, if you know where that is, kind of over in between Asia and Europe. And so this church is doing good things, and but in this area, there's a lot of like competing ideas about who God is, about who Jesus is, about what we can learn about who these guys are. And it seems like Epaphras has probably told Paul about this church and would probably like Paul to kind of give them a pep talk, like keep it going. So if all this sounds kind of confusing, don't worry, we'll expand on it throughout the week. Okay, now, was anybody here last year when I spoke all last week? All last year? All right, cool, good. So if you were with me last year, you kind of know how we're going to do things. We're going to do things the same way that we did it last year. And so all week, our goal every time we get together is we want to try to answer three questions. Every time we get together, we're going to try to answer three questions. First question is what? And so every session that we get together, what is going to be either the main word or the main couple of words that I want you guys to remember from this? So that hopefully by the time you guys leave at the end of the week, you can just about tell whoever brought you up here and dropped you off, you could probably navigate them through the letter of Colossians if you can remember these key words, and then you can kind of let them know what you learned all week. So, what's the main word or the main words from the passage? Two, so what? I know, y'all in middle school, or you're navigating through middle school, and so probably every class you go to at school, You're like, so what? You're sitting in math class. So what? You're sitting in English class. So what? Like, why is this important? And that's what we're going to try to answer. Why is this important? And then that, and then we're going to say, now what? Which, that's going to be, what do I do with this now that I have this? What do I do with this information or this info or this wisdom now that I have gotten this from God's word? So, if we all kind of understand how we're going to be doing this, let's take a look at first question. What? What's the first question? What's the main word I want you to take away from these first 8 verses? And that's the word fruit. Say fruit. All right. Just make sure y'all still with me because we ate a lot of pasta. And I know we danced a little bit, but we might be starting to get a little sleepy. So I want to make sure everybody's still with me. So fruit. Paul talks about the Colossians bearing fruit. Verse 6. It is the same good news that came to you is going out all over all the world. It is bearing fruit everywhere by changing lives, just as it changed your lives from the day you first heard and understood the truth about God's wonderful grace. So Paul wants us to know about the fruit that they are bearing. And I want you all to remember the word fruit. He points out that the Colossians have heard this good news about Jesus. And because they've begun living lives modeled after Jesus and living by his teachings, they are producing fruit. Now, this doesn't mean that all of a sudden they're like got apples and bananas and like oranges like shooting out of their nose and growing out of their fingertips. That's not what we're talking about. He's talking about we are bearing fruit. So just follow the metaphor with me. If we take an apple and we cut it open, what are we going to find in the middle of the apple? Say it. Seeds. If we cut an apple open, we're going to find seeds in the middle of that apple. Okay? Now, in theory, we should be able to take the seeds out of that apple and then plant it. And then what should happen if we do that? We plant these seeds in the ground. What should happen from that? Something's going to grow. What's going to grow? A tree. Right? We don't just put the seed in the ground and then just another apple just like shoots up out of the ground when it's ready. But we put the seeds in the ground and then a tree, if the science is working, then the tree grows from that. And then the tree, if everything's doing its job, the tree's going to produce what? It's going to produce more apples, which when we cut those open, it's going to have more seeds, which we'll plant in the ground. It's going to produce more. So it just keeps on. So do you see what's going on here? So stick with me here. So Paul is saying to this group here in Colossae, okay, you guys have learned about Jesus. This seed, this knowledge about who Jesus is, this wisdom of who Jesus is, this was planted in you because somebody shared it. Most likely this guy Epaphras has shared this stuff with you. This was planted in your hearts, and you began to change because of that, and it began to change you, and after a while, you began to produce fruit. So do you see kind of what Paul's talking about here? He's using the same imagery that we've been growing things on this earth ever since God created it and put it all in motion. He's saying that's the same thing with Jesus. It becomes planted in your heart, and if your heart is doing the right thing that it should do, then Jesus is going to start growing inside of you, and before you know it, you can't control it. You're starting to bear fruit of who Jesus is, and other people are going to see those things. But what kind of fruit is it? But it doesn't really tell us in Colossians. But Paul, again, the same guy, in another letter called Galatians, tells us what kind of fruit the seed of Jesus being planted in us produces. Some of you probably heard this before. This is the kind of fruit that Paul says is being produced. This is the same kind of fruit that Paul's talking about in Colossians, that the good news of Jesus is producing in people. The Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit. There's that word in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Do you know how you know that this is Jesus doing this kind of stuff in your life? Because I'm going to let you in on a secret. All of this stuff up here on the wall, you can't grow that on your own. You can't grow that on your own. That has got to be a work of Jesus in us. Think about it. Can you be self-controlled on your own around, you've had this entire week of camp, and then somebody comes to pick you up and then just happens to bring that little sibling that you've gotten away from for the week, and you're just like, oh man, I thought I was not going to have to see you until school started back. And then you like get in the car ride home, and then all of a sudden like the sibling's just like, because she hadn't done that to you for a week, so she's just like poking at you and like getting on your ears. You're like, stop! Because you don't have any self-control. But Jesus is going to produce that in us. Look, I can't produce any of this stuff on my own. You don't believe me? Ask the two who have been around me the longest in the back if I can do any of this stuff on my own. No, I can't. And so that's why it is a fruit of Jesus growing in us. Before Paul gives us this list in Galatians, he goes through all the stuff that we can produce on our own, which is being selfish, which is being self-centered, which is being angry, which is being deceitful, which is lying, which is all that. Like I can do that stuff all day. You want me to be deceitful? I can do that. You want me to lie? I can do that. You want me to be selfish? I can absolutely do that. I'm a champion at that. But this stuff requires God growing that in me and growing that in you. But that's the kind of fruit Jesus wants to produce in you. So when Paul talks about the fruit that's being produced by this church, he's talking about this kind of stuff. This is like the good stuff that people are seeing. They're just like, what is going on at this church over here that they are acting like these things? This is the kind of fruit that Paul wants to, or that Jesus wants to grow in us. Okay, so question number one, the what is fruit? That brings us to part two. So what? As we get throughout the week, you guys will start echoing me back. You'll be like, so what? Everybody's saying that together. Okay, so what? Why is this important? Why is this important that we produce fruit? Because if you think about it, you are only here this week at camp here in Michigan. All of us are only here because at someone, somewhere, at some point or at some time bore the fruit of Jesus in their lives and shared that good news and that good fruit of Jesus with you. You get what I'm saying? Now some of you could be like, well, I'm actually only here because my mom and dad brought me up here. Well, guess what? Your mom and dad probably are following Jesus and they know about this camp. So, ha, I still win. They brought you up here because they knew that this was good for you, and that's why you're here at this camp. So, fruit is important because if there's no fruit, then none of us are here. The only reason we're all here is because at some point, somebody bore the fruit of Jesus in their lives and were kind enough and loving enough to share that with you and to share that with me. And that's the only reason that we're here tonight. That's it. That's the thing that binds us all together. I could sit here and I could throw out some names at you. I could give you the name Dale Adams, and I could give you the name Louis Weber, and I could give you the name Steve Crosby. And there's only one person in this room who knows all three of those names. It's because she's met all of them and because I've been married to her for 26 years. The rest of y'all don't know these people. But here's what I can tell you about those people. When I was a punk 14, 15-year-old kid, these people started sharing the fruit and the good news of Jesus with me, and that seed got into my heart, and it started doing weird stuff in me. And by weird, I mean good. It started changing me from the inside out. And that's how I started to bear fruit for Jesus as well, because these guys took the time to invest in me and to share the good news of Jesus with me. So do you see how this works? So when we say, so what, it's everything. We're all here because at some point somebody shared the good news of Jesus with us. And it just like planting apple seeds in the ground that's going to produce a tree, that stuff was planted in our hearts. And Paul's like, man, you guys are taking off with it. So even now, somebody somewhere is sharing the good news of Jesus with you because they want that good fruit to be grown and produced in your own life. And so that brings us to our final question, which is, now what? What do I do with this? So what? Here's why it's important. Now what? And so what we want this, what I'd like for this to be is like when you're going to have some time to kind of get alone with your thoughts, and even if that's with your cabin leaders or if that's before you go to bed this evening, is to think seriously about this, to say, how or where can I share or plant seeds the good news of Jesus? Who can I do this with? Where can I do this? Don't confuse that with just walking up to somebody and be like, do you know anything about Jesus? Like, that it doesn't have to be that intense. Think back to that list of the things that Jesus are producing in me. Jesus is producing joy in my life. Jesus is producing patience. You get back home after a week of this and Jesus is growing patience in you, your parents will notice. You don't have to be like, look, I grew patience while I was at camp. They're going to know because they're going to be like, I don't know what got into that kid in Michigan, but he came back full of patience, self-control, kindness, gentleness. That's the kind of stuff that Jesus, so you don't have to like go out of here and feel like you got to convert everybody to follow Jesus. Just let Jesus produce that good fruit in you and then just be yourself with that stuff. But how and where can I share this? I know none of us want to think about school starting in a few weeks, but now I have your attention. Yeah! But there might be somebody at that school that Jesus is going to use you to show kindness to this person because nobody else will. There's going to be someone that needs the joy of Jesus and you are going to be the person who shares that with them. There's going to be somebody there who isn't loved by anybody and Jesus is calling you to love this person, as difficult as that might be. So, where do I need to share this stuff? So, think about that. I'm going to have our worship team's got one more to close us out with. Is that right? So I'm going to have them come up here. And while they're coming up to set up for this final song, I'd like to just pray with you guys. So Jesus, I'm glad that you're desiring to grow fruit in our lives. That God, going all the way back to the garden in Genesis chapter 1, and you are giving out the instructions, and you're saying, let all seed-bearing plants come forth and regenerate to their own kind, and that's what we're doing here. Jesus is producing fruit in us, and we don't become like the seedless fruit that we find in the store that can't regenerate. We are producing the fruit of Jesus, and it is regenerating. It is being shared with others. And so, Jesus, while you are growing fruit in our lives, that we wouldn't just be selfish with it and keep that to ourselves, but how can we keep sharing that fruit with others? God, teach us that for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this chapel session and for diving into Scripture with us. We hope you've been encouraged in your walk with Jesus, and we hope to see you here at camp for next year's summer camp. So, thanks again, and have a great rest of your day.